The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
15 days to stop the spread.
The vaccine, 95% effective.
Quite impressive.
Vaccines are going to succeed.
There's hope.
This vaccine means hope. It will protect you and those you love.
In order to get rid of this pandemic, get vaccinated. So roll up your sleeve and do your part.
This is our shot.
With each shot, we're just a little bit closer to normal.
If we do this now, we protect ourselves, our loved ones, and every other person around the globe.
And get back to school and work.
To get back to each other, to life.
Doctors say people who've been vaccinated are unlikely to get COVID if they've received any of the three available vaccines.
You're not going to get COVID if you have it. These vaccinations.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a great one-and-done shot.
This is the J&J vaccine that I'll be taking, so one and done.
COVID breakthrough infections.
We're increasingly hearing about fully vaccinated people infected with COVID.
Is there any reason not to get a booster at this point?
Not at all.
Global leaders to consider changing the definition of being fully vaccinated to three doses.
Potential fourth shot, another booster.
Talk about people getting a fourth.
Four. I thought we're just talking about three.
A fourth shot may be needed 6 months after your booster.
Fully vaccinated sounded so reassuring and definitive and complete. And then we started talking about boosters. And now we're talking about fourth dose.
Told me to get vaccinated and you told me that the viruses, that was going to be protective. Oh, now there's breakthrough cases. Oh, well, you didn't tell me about that, but okay, I'll get a booster shot. Oh, now you're telling me that the booster is pretty good, but I may need to get another shot again.
If it becomes necessary to get yet another boost, then we'll just have to deal with it.
This is not about freedom. We require all employers fully vaccinated.
The country will be using vaccine passes as proof of being fully vaccinated.
And if you've had both jabs, the green pass giving you access to restaurants, hotels, and gyms.
A QR code is going to be required for vaccine passports. Vaccine passports, the government had planned to drop them. They are going to keep them indefinitely.
This is the new normal.
Perfect. Do you have some ID with that?
Proof of vaccination is now required for everything from restaurants and gyms to theaters and concerts.
Vaccine passport expires if you don't get the booster.
We are going to be in a cycle of being vaccinated for COVID into the future.
What contact tracing looks like in the new world order?
It's been used as a quarantine facility's ideal quarantine setup.
This is the new world order.
Well, it's all going according to plan. The new world order is upon us as everything goes right back into lockdown. What started out as 15 days, just 15 days, just give us 2 weeks to stop the spread. And now here we are, 2 years in almost, 2 years in, and you've got major sports leagues shutting down, Broadway, the West End, and on it goes because of Omicron. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. And this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show at CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on their platform. But the video-only offering is available at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to our live stream page as well as the podcast page to view on demand at a time that's convenient for you. So much to get to on today's program. Joe Biden coming out after he had his new puppy delivered yesterday. Today he's coming on with more on the vaccine, more on the virus. 500 million tests now. Don't forget about testing. I mean, you got to take the test. You got to wear the mask. You've got to get the triple, even four jabs, as you heard there in the montage. And then you've got to get tested. And you've got to socially distance. And you can't go out. Can't go out to Broadway. Can't go to the West End. Can't watch a ball game. It's too dangerous. The new world order. This is what they've wanted all along. We'll play a clip for you later where they were talking about this sort of thing in 2019. Fauci and friends. 2019. Before anyone even knew of the term COVID or coronavirus or the Wuhan flu. This is an attack. It's a communist attack. An attack on our freedoms. An attack on our nations. It's coming right from the devil. He's intent on blotting out even the name of Israel. And so from the very beginning, you see, when you put it all together over 2 years, you see the web of lies. You see, you give them an inch, they take a mile. They've taken a mile and then some. 15 days. Who can forget? Just 15 days, and then everything's back to normal. Nope. That's not how it's played out. Listen to Joe Biden from earlier this year. This is July 21st, 2021, clip 17.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
Wow, you're not going to even get COVID. And now it seems like we're treated to dozens, seemingly dozens of stories a day. Of all of these people with the triple jab, and they're getting COVID. I mean, some of these sports leagues are at a near 100% vaccination level, and yet they're having to shut down entire leagues of activity. That's right. Why? Well, because the people getting the jab, the fully vaccinated, are now getting the COVID. They're coming down with COVID. And then we're supposed to believe the experts come out and say they're breakthrough cases. It doesn't mean the vaccine's not working. It's just this unusual strain that manages to kind of break through this solid wall of defense. But it's still good that you get the vaccine. So now the talking point has changed. Now it's that, okay, you might get the virus if you're vaccinated. However, you're much, much less likely to die. You might go to the hospital, but look, it's going to be a lot more mild than those people who are unvaccinated. They're the real problem. They're the real danger to our society. Here again, just go back to what the fake president was saying more recently. This is just last Thursday, not even a week ago. Clip 4.
Due to the steps we've taken, Omicron has not yet spread as fast as it would have otherwise done, and that's happening in Europe. But it's here now, and it's spreading, and it's going to increase. For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated. For themselves, their families, and the hospitals, they'll soon overwhelm. But there's good news. If you're vaccinated, you have your booster shot, you're protected from severe illness and death, period.
That's the fake president last week declaring war on the unvaccinated. This is all that they have left, as I said on yesterday's show. The war against the unvaccinated. Then you look at the headline. If you're vaccinated, everything's good. Everything's fine. ESPN. The NHL will pause its season on Wednesday, 2 days before its planned Christmas break, the league announced Monday evening. All NHL team facilities will be closed from Wednesday through Saturday as the league tries to weather several COVID-19 outbreaks. Players are set to report back to team facilities on Sunday and resume daily testing. The NHL schedule is set to resume December 27. It says, it's been a challenging week for the NHL as 11 teams have suspended operations and the league postponed all games through Christmas that involved cross-border travel between Canada and the U.S. More than 15% of the league's players were in virus protocols as of Monday night. 15% have the COVID. And this is the best part. You want to listen to this next paragraph. It says, there is only one player who is not vaccinated in the NHL, one player in the entire league. His name is Tyler Bertuzzi. Surprise, he still has a job. One player in the entire league has been vaccinated. And 15% of them get the COVID? Never mind. This is a good sign. It shows just how virulent the breakthrough case is. Omicron actually should be the G variant, if we're going to go according to the lettering in the alphabet, let's stick with G. So the G variant is spreading like wildfire in the NHL and other sports leagues as well. This is the NBA. 70 NBA players entered safety protocol, 50 in the last week. So Joe Biden last Thursday said it's here, it's not spreading as rapidly like it is in Europe. Well, it is now, especially in sports leagues and New York City, the vaccine mandate capital of the world, New York City. Can't go to a restaurant without the vaccine, without your papers. You've got to have your papers to go to the restaurant in New York. And that's where it's spreading the fastest. New York City, of all things. And in the NBA, says the league hasn't paused its season as yet, but who knows? According to NBA.com, 95% of the league is vaccinated. I mean, you hear about the player from, I think, New Jersey, forget his name, Kyrie Irving. You hear about him, his stance. He's not getting the vaccine, but 95%? And yet, just in the last week, 50 NBA players, they come down with the COVID. This is the NFL. They're struggling through one of their biggest, or one of the biggest outbreaks in sports. This is from Sporting News. Since the start of Week 15, more than 200 NFL players have tested positive for COVID-19. This number makes up around 10% of the league. 10% of the league. 15% of the NHL. It says, with the increase of positive tests and the daily positive test record continuing to be broken, right now it's at 51 in one day, the NFL has adjusted its COVID protocols, including increasing testing. And here again, according to NFL.com, the league is 95% vaccinated. So what does this mean? I think the U.S. is at, what, 70%? So supposing we get it up to 95% or between 95 and 100, if 15% of the population is still going to get the G variant, where does it stop? It never stops, just like you heard in the montage. This is the new world order. This is the way it's going to be from now on, say the communists. I mean, and they say it with glee. Broadway, New York Times says, on Saturday and Sunday, about a third of Broadway shows canceled their performances. It's the same thing at the West End in London. You got to cancel the shows. And for what? For the G variant? How many deaths do we even have in the United States? Tucker on his show last night said zero. I think I saw a tweet that there's maybe one death in Texas. One death in a nation of 334 million people? Are we serious? Is this actually happening? You can't make this up. Listen to, this is CNN interviewing a doctor in South Africa. They're the ones that discovered the variant, remember? And then they were just shocked at the reaction because it's such a mild strain. Listen to this exchange between CNN's John Berman and a doctor in South Africa. Clip two.
Started, you're starting to see the case numbers go down. You're past peak there. That's interesting because if that were to happen here, that means it's 3 weeks, two, 3 weeks, and then the cases start to go down.
We don't see a high death rate with Omicron.
So no huge rise. You saw a huge spike in cases, not a corresponding rise in hospitalizations, not a corresponding rise in deaths.
Huge spike in cases, and they're already going down after 2 or 3 weeks, and no rise in hospitalizations or deaths. And there's Berman saying, well, this is important because 2, 3 weeks from now, if we're a little bit behind you, we can expect the same here, right? Well, yeah, that's pretty much right. Never mind, though. Shut it down. Shut it down. I mean, we've already got one death because of the G variant. Listen to a comparison Tucker made last night on his program, clip five.
In just the past week or two, two separate CNN producers have been accused of child molestation. But this seems like a real story. So to put it into context, as of today, there are more accused pedophiles at CNN than Americans who have died of the so-called Omicron variant that's supposed to be so deadly.
More accused pedophiles at CNN. Producers. Producers who worked for Chris Cuomo and Jake Tapper. More pedophiles at CNN than deaths from Omicron. And in a normal world, what's happening at CNN would be wall-to-wall coverage at every other network. And even at CNN, if they were honest. And then CNN, their media critic on Sunday, actually says, it's been a week of scandals for Fox News. Yeah, Fox News is the problem. Totally, totally blind to their own sins. Projecting their sins on everyone else. I mean, what a perfect metaphor for everything wrong with that network. Two pedophiles? And we've discovered this just in the last 2-3 weeks? I mean, these kinds of stories, it's rapid fire. You got that high-profile case, the Maxwell woman who worked for Epstein, and the media, they have nothing to say about it. Well, because you've got Clinton and Prince Andrew and all these other high-profile communists, the Democrats, involved in these sex rings. And so they just kind of ignore it, sweep it under the rug. How many stories, if they really wanted to focus in on the perverse and appalling evils of our nation, the things that happen in schools, the things happening in Hollywood, the pornography industry, pedophilia, rape, transgender rape. I have a listing of stories here. There's a story, 6 FBI agents investigated for allegedly soliciting prostitution while on assignment overseas. There's your FBI. This is CNN. This is public schooling. It's not everywhere, but it's certainly spreading. It's spreading like cancer. You want to talk about a sickness? You want to talk about a virus? It's just, I knew it when I came in here and put on my headphones. Feature story news. What was it, the third or fourth word in? Omicron! So many other stories worth covering and exposing. So much evil worth exposing. And yet we get this on a daily basis. It's nonstop. It's been nonstop for 2 years. The New York Post. Just today, New York State Health Commissioner tested positive for a breakthrough coronavirus. That's the new word, breakthrough. It's not the health commissioner tests positive and she was vaccinated. So that calls into question the effectiveness of the vaccine. No. No, the vaccine's perfect. I mean, this is a breakthrough. All that this means, listen and learn. All that this means is you need a third, maybe a fourth, probably a fifth booster shot. Just keep getting boosted. You've got to get boosted because these are breakthrough cases. And one person has died in a nation of 334 million. This is outrageous that people are even, that people are getting in front of a camera, a CNN camera, an MSNBC camera, and actually giving you this as news with a straight face. She got the jab twice. She got the booster. She's obsessed. This health commissioner in New York, she's obsessed with wearing a full cover the whole face mask. And she gets COVID. Says Hochul, this is the New York governor that nobody voted for. Of course, Bassett is vaccinated and boosted, so this would be a breakthrough case. But she's feeling fine. Don't worry. The startling disclosure came just hours after Maryland Governor Larry Hogan said he'd joined the ranks of public officials who've tested positive for the coronavirus despite having been vaccinated and boosted. It's a list that's too long to even cover on a one-hour program. Jim Cramer over at CNBC, you know, the stock guru. Basically, the rule of thumb is if he suggests that you put your money into this stock, don't do it. If he says sell the stock, keep it. There you go. You don't need to waste your time watching an hour of him. Now he's not even into stocks. He's into the booster. Now he's got the COVID. Remember a week ago he was saying send in the military. Make sure everyone's boosted. Then he tweets out, the government has a right to force you what to do. Republicans have been doing that. Right. Dream on. Get the jab. He's gotten plenty of them. I think he's gotten four. And he says, you know what? Even though I've got COVID, I'm more convinced than ever that the jabs work. I guess he probably said that with a straight face as well, or tweeted it, whatever it was. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, she's got the COVID now. Fully jabbed. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, same thing. A triple jabbed New York State Senator, he's tested positive. And on it goes. There was an MSNBC report, this Michigan senator, blaming the rise of cases in the Senate on Republicans wearing masks. I suppose that argument was made with a straight face as well. Just look, as crazy as the argument might seem to be, just at the bottom line is you can always blame Republicans. You can always blame the unvaccinated. And that's what we're seeing. Listen to this is CNN's resident communist medical expert. I mean, she's made some wacky statements, but listen to her saying the silent part out loud about masks, clip 6.
Don't wear a cloth mask. Cloth masks are little more than facial decorations. There's no place for them in light of Omicron.
They're just facial decorations? They're cloth masks don't work? She's on CNN saying it, and yet Tony Fauci said over the weekend, clip 12.
Are we going to get to the point where we won't have to wear masks on airplanes?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, you've got to wear masks. The cloth, paper, whatever. You just have to you've got to have some kind of face decoration. There's CEOs of airline companies that aren't going to do that. I mean, some will. Like I said the other day, last week I believe it was, it's just all over the map. It's not one standard for everyone. It's different standards for different people at different times in different states and different places. You can't make sense of it. Listen to Jen Psaki yesterday, the chief propagandist at the White House, clip 18.
We continue to see, and our health experts assess, that you're 14 times more likely to die of COVID if you have not been vaccinated versus vaccinated.
Right. Based on what study? 14 times more likely to die? She cites no study, and that's just the way it goes with Fauci and friends. They don't care about studies. They're not really serious about the science. All that they're serious about is the vaccine. That's all that matters. There was a hearing last week, December 14th. This is, again, it was put on by the Democrats, but I guess the Republicans at least had a chance to bring in one of their witnesses. And so this witness, he works at Johns Hopkins University, and it's exchange between him and Jim Jordan. And listen to where Jim Jordan goes with the questioning, and then how the doctor responds. Clip 8.
Let me start with this. What's the budget at CDC? Do you happen to know that?
CDC, it's about $9 billion, sir.
How about at NIAID? What's the budget there?
$6 billion.
$9 billion at CDC. $6 billion. NIAID. What about NIH? What's the budget there?
Between 42 and 43 billion.
42 and 43. So I do the quick math. That's like $57-58 billion. That's annual, right?
Annual.
Okay. And you know how many people work at CDC?
CDC and NIH together, about 30,000 people. That's right. 31,000 people between CDC and NIH.
31,000 people spending $58 billion a year. Why hasn't our government done a study on natural immunity?
If I can be honest, Representative Jordan, I don't think they want to know the answer. It would undermine the indiscriminate vaccination policy for every single human being, including extremely low-risk people.
There's a reputable, a best-selling author, by the way. His name is Dr. Martin Makary. And there he is saying they don't want to do a study on natural immunity because it would undermine their push, their obsession to get everybody jabbed, to get everybody injected with this experimental drug, this gene therapy, this spike protein that's killing people, by the way. We'll get to that later. They don't want to. It's an agenda. It always has been. Listen to Fauci and friends. This is them back in October of 2019 talking about what needs to happen for us to get a vaccine out there that everybody takes. This is clip 11.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously, we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet. But there must be some ways.
So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza, and it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
But it is not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. We could get the RNA sequence from that, beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch and self-administer.
You see where these radicals were thinking before the pandemic even happened. It's all about getting the vaccines to everybody, even on patches if we can. The RNA sequence, that's the technology that Pfizer and Moderna have developed. There they are talking about, we've got to blow the system up. Fauci says we've got to disrupt everything. We've got to have something to just kind of jolt the nations to get this new world order in place. And well, sure enough, they got it. And the guy there at the last talked about it coming from China. You can't make this up. It's kind of like the way they laid out how the election would be stolen. They had the plan in advance and they couldn't help themselves. There will be a red wave on November 3rd, but just give it some time and then the blue wave will take over once the mail-in ballots come in. They all said it. They said it ahead of time. Same with this. It's an attack. It's an attack. America under attack. Written in 2013. Well, I mean, it's coming from every direction, isn't it? Of course, because of 2 Kings 14. Satan the devil wants to blot out even the name of Israel. Going back to this exchange with Dr. Macri and Jim Jordan, listen to this next clip from last week, clip 9.
I would say that they are doing worse than being absent on the topic. They are undermining natural immunity through two studies that the CDC did that are so flawed, that are so poorly put together. Honestly, they would not qualify for a 7th grade science fair. The results cannot be derived from the data. And it's a disgrace that those two studies were put out because it undermines the larger body of science.
So they won't talk about international studies that conclude that natural immunity is 27 times better than the vaccine, but they will do some bogus, some 7th grade science experiment studies.
I will say their intention is noble, but just very paternalistic. That is, they believe, and from private conversations, that if they acknowledge natural immunity, some people may avoid vaccination and think, I'll just get the infection. We don't want people to do that, but we can be honest with the data and encourage vaccination at the same time.
So there he is saying that they don't even want to talk about natural immunity because they think that by talking about it, that people won't get the jab. And so they cover it up. Or they bring forward bogus studies, fake science falsely so-called, to say that the natural immunity, it's really not going to protect you. So we've got to get you drugged up. We've got to inject this toxic substance into your body. Not once, not twice, 3, 4, 5 times. No studies, no honest studies. One last clip, clip 10.
We've subjected 72 million children to intense restrictions for 2 years, yet we don't have the most basic research. We've never had an NIH funded study on masks in kids, and we've never had any information revealed by the CDC on whether or not any healthy child has died of COVID. It's
never had an NIH study on masks in kids and whether or not it even works. Never had a CDC study on the dangers of this virus with respect to young people? That's right. That's a doctor at Johns Hopkins. Best-selling author. You saw the montage at the top of the show. All the lies from, we got the three, the J&J was supposed to be, you know, one and you're done, like Governor Newsom said. And then that was, of course, dismissed just recently. Yeah, too dangerous. Blood clots and such. Plus, we don't make as much money on J&J. So let's get J&J out of the way. Listen to Naomi Wolf on Steve Bannon's podcast from yesterday or the day before, clip three.
Moderna and Pfizer have been trying to sideline Johnson & Johnson, partly because, as Robert Kennedy will tell you, the stakeholders at the NIAID don't have a patent on, don't make money on the J&J vaccine. So they want it out of the marketplace. It's not the first time they've said, oh, that bad J&J vaccine. But anyone who has looked at Celia Farber's article, thrombotic event after thrombotic event, blood clot after blood clot, not just for J&J, but for Moderna and for Pfizer, and anyone who's looked at VAERS and seen the thousands of blood clot events, strokes, thrombotic events for Pfizer and Moderna, as well as J&J, knows that this is absolute window dressing. It's not that J&J, with their six citations of blood clots, is more dangerous. It's that they're all causing blood clots. People I know and love are dropping dead.
That's the truth. VAERS updated its weekly stats last Friday. This is the week ending December 10th. So between December 4 and December 10, 19,000 more reports filed by ordinary Americans for adverse reactions to the vaccine. 19,000. 2,091 were admitted to hospitals for urgent care over that seven-day period. That's up from 1,615 the week before. So 2,091 Americans admitted to hospitals for urgent care because of a reaction, a violent reaction to the vaccine. And 358 deaths in a seven-day period. How many deaths from Omicron? One? 358 deaths. Because of the vaccine. This is from Reuters. New Zealand links New Zealand. I forget how many deaths they've had total. I think it's around 30. For the deaths from the virus over the course of 2 years. This is from Reuters. New Zealand authorities on Monday said they had linked a 26-year-old man's death to Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine after the person suffered myocarditis, a rare inflammation of the heart muscle, after taking his first dose. Just took one dose. He's 26 years old. Now, the COVID kills older people, mostly with comorbidities. Here's a 26-year-old that took the drug, the man-made substance that's supposed to protect you, going by what Joe Biden said in July, protect you from even getting COVID. Well, forget about COVID. The drug itself killed this young man. Naomi Wolf is right. People I know and love are dropping dead. This is from Nature Medicine. Surprising that this even made it to print. It says during the study period, there were 1,615 and 1,574 admissions or deaths related to myocarditis and pericarditis, respectively. 14 patients had both, and 385,000 related to cardiac arrhythmias. It says, of the 38 million vaccinated individuals included in our study, 385,500, that's 1%. 1%. Remember how early on with the virus, you had, I forget his name at the WHO, saying it's 4%. 4% of the people that get this virus are going to die. And then it was down to 2%. Then it was down to 1%. Then it was down to basically flu-like levels. Okay, 0.2% or 0.1%. I forget the exact figures. In any event, here's 1% coming down with the heart condition after taking the jab. It says, of the 38 million vaccinated individuals included in our study, 385,000 or 1% were admitted to hospital with or died from cardiac arrhythmia at any time in the study period. It says 86,000 of these occurred in a 1 to 28 day period after any dose of vaccine. Of those who were admitted or died, 39,000, almost 40,000, had a COVID positive test, with 29,000 having a positive test before vaccination. There were 7,000 deaths with cardiac arrhythmia recorded as the cause of death. So a chunk of them have the COVID. And so you can see the war over the narrative. Well, but really it's this COVID variant that's causing the deaths, is it? No studies to see if masks are working with kids. No studies to see if the virus is a threat to young people who are healthy. We know the answer. But never mind. The NIH, the CDC, they're not going to get into studies like that. They're going to put forward bogus studies to support their agenda, which is pure and simple. Everybody get the jab multiple times. And a lot of people, sadly, are doing it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You can send us some feedback. Email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely, at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
For those of you that have attended a baptism ceremony in God's church, you will have no doubt noted just how strikingly concise and direct the ceremony is. It's also very, very brief. There's just 110 words or so in the ceremony itself. But what a momentous event this is in a person's life, someone who has turned to God in repentance and faith. And what a break this represents from this world and the ways of this world. The Apostle Paul wrote about the brethren before their conversion. He said, "You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now that you've come out of the world and into the church, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Jesus Christ." That's in Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13. I mean, you were aliens. You were strangers, but now you're near to Christ. That's what happens. That's what takes place at that turning point. That is baptism. And yet, spiritually speaking, I mean, that journey begins in the smallest possible of ways. Mr. Armstrong described the experience of baptism this way in Mystery of the Ages. He said, "The divine life has merely been begotten. This divine character starts so very small that it's doubtful if much of it is in evidence, except for the glow of that ecstasy of spiritual romance, which we may radiate in that first love of conversion, spiritually speaking. But so far as spiritual knowledge and developed spiritual character goes, there is not much as yet. I mean, if you didn't receive enough counsel or enough detailed counsel going into this momentous event, you might be a little bit discouraged at what happens after the fact, after the baptism, the laying on of hands, and the receipt of God's Holy Spirit, because of how small it starts. And maybe you don't notice any discernible difference. We've had some of those baptized here on campus, quite a few of our college students speak of just how much work it is or takes to really stir up that spirit, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, how much work it takes to really see a difference. I mean, it's obviously of God. It's God's doing. It's God in us. It's Jesus Christ living again in the flesh. But we certainly have to do our part, as the Apostle Paul said to his assistant Timothy. This is 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice," Paul says, "and I am persuaded that it's in you as well." It's in you, Timothy, also. I mean, you have some pretty remarkable women in your family, your mother and your grandmother, who've taught you well. He says here, "Wherefore," this is verse 6, "wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands." Stir up that gift. Stir up that power. Stir up the Holy Spirit. When you understand how that Spirit of God works in our lives, then, well, we know then how important fervent prayer is, diligent Bible study, occasional fasting, Christian fellowship, meditation, all of these spiritual tools that God equips us with so that we can grow, so that that Spirit can empower us. God's Spirit is His power. It's God's mind. It's God's life. It's God's love. It's God's character. It's God's nature. And the Bible says that that Spirit must be used and stirred and exercised, or else we will lose it. We'll lose the Spirit. Look at what's happened to so many of our brethren in the Laodicean era of God's church. Brethren who, like I tell the students regularly, brethren who went through the same process that so many of our young people do here on campus. They counseled for baptism. They were taught about repentance and faith and the Holy Spirit. They entered into a covenant with God. They were baptized. They received the Spirit of God. Many of them, I'm sure, grew over the course of years, maybe decades in God's church. But then the prophesied great falling away from the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, read it. Strong delusion. God sent it to see if they love the truth enough to hold on to it, to fight for it. But so many of them didn't. And because of that, they've quenched the Spirit. They stopped using it. And when you stop using it, you start losing it. This is from a Good News article in 1983. It says, "We do not receive enough of this divine power all at once to last forever. This power comes into you from God daily. It circulates from God into you and then on out from you in love, in faith, in joy, in patience, even in performing miracles." It says here, "You might be imbued with this power yesterday and depleted of it today." That's quite a statement. Mr. Armstrong, he compared the power of God's Spirit to an electrical current that would light up a light bulb, for example, and how that it needs a regular supply of that electricity to stay lit, to remain fired up. Now think about what Paul says here in 2 Timothy 1. To stir up means to kindle anew or to fan the flames. It's like keeping a fire going in the middle of a cold or frigid campout so that you can stay warm. You've got to keep throwing logs on the fire. You've got to keep stirring up the coals. You've got to maybe blow a little oxygen onto it to get it started. You've got to do some things to keep it burning. It goes out quickly if you don't. Add fuel to the fire daily. That's really what Paul was saying to Timothy. Look, Timothy, you've got to stir it up. You've got to add fuel to that fire. The book of Daniel talks about doing the daily. And in Daniel 8, it speaks of the daily sacrifices. There were sacrifices in the morning and sacrifices in the evening. And then there were those who were responsible. They were responsible for keeping the fire burning constantly. So you had to keep fueling the fire. And God likens that to our support for his work, our involvement in his work. Doing the daily, the emphasis is on the consistency and not even on the sacrifice. Of course, the sacrifice is in italics there in Daniel 11, Daniel 12, I think it is. God really loves to see that consistent effort every day, prayer, study, meditation, fellowship, occasional fasting, every day, using those spiritual tools, performing those daily duties. There's a verse in chapter 3, verse 4, it says, they kept also the Feast of Tabernacles as it is written, and they offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. If you're a true Christian, there are daily duties. It's not some Pharisaical list of responsibilities, but there are daily duties that we need to keep up with. Otherwise, that spirit will dwindle. That supply of God's Spirit, like that Good News article says, you might be imbued with this power yesterday and depleted of it today. So we've got to stir it up daily. Even in the outline prayer of Matthew 6, Jesus said to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And he was talking about spiritual food. Every day, praying earnestly, God, give me what I need today. We covered that recently on a program. It says in verse 7, this is back to 2 Timothy 1, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need the spirit of power. Many people today, they just don't understand the power of God. They don't understand why we would even need the power of God. They don't think about what that power can do for us. They don't think about what God's power can do through us. They don't think about what God's power can do for others through us. This work, God's work, goes forward by the Spirit of power, not human might or strength, like it says in Zechariah 4, but by God's power, by God's Spirit, working in us, by God's Spirit working in the body of Christ, the church of God. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5, this is also Paul's writings, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So be in the consistent habit of praying. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. That's prayer as well. And then verse 19 says, quench not the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. To quench or quench not That means to extinguish or to suppress or to thwart. In other words, we've got to keep God's spirit vibrant and alive. We've got to keep stirring it up daily, or else we'll extinguish that power, God's power, God's mind, God's spirit. In Ephesians 4 and verse 30, just look at that later on your own time, but it's a similar kind of admonition where Paul says, to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't quench it. Don't even grieve the Holy Spirit. And that Greek word for grieve, it means to vex or to distress. There are many ways that we can distress or even extinguish the Spirit of God if we're not constantly stirring it up. If we don't remain spiritually vigilant, we can distress the Holy Spirit by not acting on God's truth, by being a hearer of the word only, not a doer. If we do that, we can grieve the Spirit of God. God gives us His Spirit. As I said, many people don't understand why we even need it. But He gives us His Spirit that we might mortify the deeds of the body, the flesh. Paul wrote about that in Romans 8. We have to receive the Spirit of God and then use it. It says in Romans 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God, the sons of God. So we've got to be led by the Spirit. We've got to follow the Spirit, the Spirit's lead. We've got to seek after God's power. We've got to pray earnestly for it. As it says in Luke 11 and verse 13, we quench the Spirit of God when we stop growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can read that in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. If you stop growing, then you're dying. You're dying. We can grieve the Spirit of God when we stop praying earnestly, fervently to God the Father. Pray without ceasing, as we just read there. This is from the Amplified Version of, what was it, Galatians 5? Sorry, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, verse 17. I'll get it right. Bear with me. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, in the Amplified, it says, be unceasingly in prayer, praying perseveringly. Praying perseveringly. Don't let any long lapse come between you and your communications with God, God in heaven. Be instant in prayer. Get in that fervent, lengthy block in the morning. Pray earnestly in the morning. 40, 45 minutes even. And then come back and supplement that, you know, fill up the reservoir a little bit more at lunch and at dinner, before bed. Constant contact with God. That's what Paul's talking about here. Well, we want to do that, don't we? We don't want to quench the Spirit. We want to draw on the power of God. You can quench the Spirit of God if you neglect these things. Prayer and Bible study, Christian fellowship, contact with God's family. We need that. Now, some people are scattered, but God also, I mean, we have access to technology, and we're able, through the websites and programs such as this, and emails and that kind of thing, if we use the technology God's way and not the way of this world, it can really keep us connected, connected to headquarters, connected to brethren in God's church. And we really can't. We can pour our hearts into God's work, even if we are in a remote location around the world. Putting God's work first, I should say, it is possible, even when you're fairly isolated. There's a number of ways you can grieve the Spirit, but there's also a number of ways you can really stir it up. We'll come back to this study next time on the Trumpet Daily. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily, and you can submit feedback to td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.